All right, let's go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 2 as we continue looking at the topic of what is a fundamentalist. I think it's a term that's much misunderstood. I think it's a people that are even more misunderstood. If you remember, this was all sprang from sitting in a church service and hearing a fella say in a fundamental church that they were an evangelical church. And there's a big difference between a fundamentalist and an evangelical. And what we're talking about on this handout pretty much lays out the primary difference. And the difference is that of separation, An evangelical does not believe in separation. They say it's nowhere to be found in the Scriptures. And so trying to lay it out that it is found in the Scriptures, the first thing we saw, well, let's go ahead and read our passage in 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse number 18. Here God says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." And so, what we saw out of verse number 18 is that just simply the sign of the times, the Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but the many Antichrists, those that have changed the orthodox doctrine, changed the things that Jesus taught to something else. Now, a simple example of that is baptism. Jesus taught immersion of believers, and they changed it initially. And if you still have that chart floating around, I didn't bother to print any more because we're not going to really refer to it today, other than in passing. But you can see the date when they changed from immersion to sprinkling. And I don't remember if I told you why they did that. It was primarily under Constantine, really where it became popular, where they were fighting to make him the Roman emperor. And of course, he claimed to be a Christian, and they made baptism a part of salvation. But the soldiers didn't want to accept Jesus as their Savior until they were about to die, because they were afraid that they might sin and wind up in hell, even though they were saved, because they had no eternal security. They didn't understand salvation, because I don't think Constantine had a clue. And anyway, so they came with this bright idea, well, it's too inconvenient to baptize a soldier on his deathbed, so let's just sprinkle him and call it baptism. And it's certainly not. So they changed that, then they made it infant baptism. You see, they began to change, and many other doctrines have come about because of those changes of those that went out from among us. But it's a sign of the times of how many there are. And as I said, and I say so often that if you listen to the TV preachers or the radio preachers, they'll ruin you because so many of them are false teachers. God doesn't mince words. He doesn't beat around the bush. He just calls them antichrists, those that are against Christ because they're teaching false doctrine. And if we waste our time listening to them, they will affect us. They really will. Now, there's some good ones out there. I don't know of any on television at this point. I don't know of any on the radio at this point. But on the internet, you can find some decent ones. But be careful who you listen to, because there's a lot of false doctrine out there, and it messes people up big time. And so be very, very picky. That's the point God's trying to make here. But we'll talk more about that, Lord willing, next week. But that was the sign of the times of verse 18, verse 19, is the separation of the apostates. And what we saw last week out of Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, was the command to separate. And because the early churches were obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, they obeyed that command. And in 251 AD, they declared non-fellowship with all these churches that were being led by Antichrist, those teaching false doctrine. They said, we just can't deal with this anymore. We can't accept you as one of us because you went out from us. And so the false teachers, the Antichrist, are the original separatists because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And we'll see more about them today. But last week we saw the command that they were obedient to. But we're in number three under letter B, and for that we'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm trying not to review too much just because we'll never get this done. And I'd really like to finish this sheet so we can move on to the next one. But the character of the Antichrist is described for us in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's start reading verse number 3, verses 3, 4, and 5. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if I were to ask you, what are wholesome words? That's what Jesus taught. God didn't want there to be any question what he was referring to. He says, if anyone teaches something that I did not teach, then they're who I'm about to describe. That's what God says. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So the wholesome words are words that will lead to godliness, that will conform us into his image. Now, today there's been a terrible disconnect. And this didn't come from God. It didn't come from the Bible, but it came from these antichrists that are about the world today. They say that doctrine is not relevant. That doctrine is really unimportant because doctrine does not have anything to do with what you face day in and day out. Well, this verse seems to indicate otherwise. You see, if you're listening to the wrong doctrine, it will lead to ungodliness. Ungodliness is how you behave and how you act. Godliness is also how you behave and how you act. If you're acting like Christ and acting like God, being conformed into his image, God says that's godliness, and it's the right doctrine that will bring that about in your life. And so, very important, doctrine cannot be minimalized like the evangelicals are doing today, and they are leading the charge. You don't see the Roman Catholic Church, well, the current Pope is backtracking on some of his doctrine, but historically, the Roman Catholic Church, they will not back down on what they believe. They will not compromise. I looked at the Free Press website, and one of their main articles, and it may have been the lead article at the time that I looked at it, I believe it probably was, they had a picture of a lady who looked awfully mad about something. Well, the title was, the Episcopalians were having a gun-destroying service. And the leader of the Episcopalian church, our diocese in the area, was blessing, from what I could gather, the saws that were cutting the guns apart. They're not shy about what they believe in. Now I want to go off on a tangent, but I'll try to behave myself. But I'm just thinking what happened at that splash pad where the guy unloaded a pistol, took the clip out, loaded a second clip, unloaded that clip into the children, took that clip out, reloaded a third time, but didn't unload it. He just turned around and walked to his car and calmly drove away. If there had been even one person that had a firearm, I don't think he gets that first clip finished. And he definitely doesn't get that second clip loaded. So anyway, that's my tangent. I'm trying to behave myself. But, you know, the liberal crowd that scoffs at the scriptures, they are not shy about what they believe and don't believe. That's actually what you should say, their lack of faith. In fact, they're going to push it in your face. They're going to
be completely unconcerned about offending you. They could care less. The ones that are so scared to offend anybody and so afraid to let anybody know what they believe and to hurt anybody's feelings are the evangelicals. They're the ones that are compromising everything they believe. And that's unfortunate, because doctrine is what brings about godliness. Is it any wonder that Christianity is in the mess it's in today, and that our country is in the mess it's in today? Some of those evangelicals still preach the gospel. A lot of the Southern Baptists still preach the gospel. Unfortunately, they don't teach doctrine, and so their people are evangelicals, and they're sacrificing what their forefathers stood for. Did you know our heritage, spiritual heritage, goes back and includes the Southern Baptists? We came from the same place. In the formation of our nation, there were two primary Baptist groups. There were particular Baptists, and there were separate Baptists. They were known by those two names. Now, the separate Baptists were just a bunch of independent, fundamental Baptist churches that were soul winning and very missions minded. They pushed out west. They were there ahead of the Methodist circuit riding preachers that you hear about. You never hear about the Baptists, but you hear all about the circuit riders, but the Baptists were there first. I've told you that before, I believe. If I didn't, I'll tell you again, I'm sure, before God ends my ministry here, because I think that's important for us to know. But they brush Baptist history under the rug and don't mention it. But the particular Baptists were not missions-minded. Their idea of missionary work was going into an established, soul-winning, zealous, missionary-minded, independent, fundamental Baptist church and changing it. Now, that's relevant because that's exactly what we're going to talk about, because that's what's happening in the world today because of the character of these antichrists. And so the old Northern Baptist Convention, and the reason there was a Northern Baptist and a Southern Baptist, was all about slavery. About a dozen years before the Civil War took place, the Southern Baptists that believed in slavery pulled out of the Northern Baptist Convention because the Northern Baptist Convention would not condone slavery. And good for them for that. But the Northern Baptist Convention went full liberal, full-on liberal. And so we basically, not out of the Southern Baptists, but out of the, I can't say that, because the founding pastor here came out of Arlington, and that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. My heritage goes back through the Northern Baptists. But anyway, doctrine's important, and I'm getting a little bit sidetracked here. I love Baptist history, if you haven't figured that out. And maybe one of these days we'll have a little session or a series on that. But let's get back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've read verse number 3, and we've talked about doctrine, how important doctrine is. They're wholesome words. They bring about godliness. Now, verse number 4 exposes the character, in verse number 5, of the false teacher. The first thing God says, now remember, this is God saying it. This isn't my imagination. This isn't my perception. There aren't two ways to interpret this. Words mean what words mean. You can't take a dictionary, and when you look up these words, have all kinds of, you know, just, it doesn't say fill in the blank. It has a definition. Words have meaning. And the first thing he says about these antichrists, and these are people you know, people you have heard on television and on the radio. Pat Robertson, I named a bunch of them last week. Charles Stanley, I know everybody loves Charles Stanley. He's an evangelical. He's close to a fundamentalist. There's not a lot of error in his teaching, but he is an evangelical. Same with Jerry Falwell. Now, he was a lot closer than Stanley was a fundamentalist, but he wasn't. They're proud. They're proud. Is proud a good thing in the Word of God? Is pride something that we pat someone on the back? Is, and say, man, I aspire to your proudness. I haven't made it there yet. I don't have that self-confidence that you have, but man, I admire how proud you are about your... No, we don't do that. God tells us that pride has no place in a Christian's character. It's to be tempered, because we are just sinners saved by the grace of God, and without Him, we couldn't do nothing. We talked about that this past Sunday. But you know what happens? And he's going to talk about this. We've already read, let's read the rest of the verse. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises. What happens is they get a pet doctrine, and they will not let it go. And they are right, and the whole rest of independent fundamental Baptist churches are wrong. The whole rest of Christianity is wrong. Now, where are these areas? What about the pre-wrath rapture that they now call the pre-tribulation rapture? Because they said the tribulation isn't 7 years, it's only 3.5 years. And after the fifth seal judgment, the rapture is going to take place. And boy, are they adamant about that. And they are so proud at their understanding. And if you want to sit down and have a discussion with them, they'll do it, but they don't want to discuss it. They want to convert you. And it goes back to what I said about the particular Baptist. They would move into a church and try to convert the church to their particular doctrine. They weren't concerned about winning the lost. They were only concerned about winning them over to their doctrinal persuasion. And God doesn't want us to do that. God says that's just pride. The inability to back down from false doctrine. You can take the Word of God and you can show them their error, and they will not accept it. They absolutely refuse. Now, there's a lot of different areas as well. You can show anyone who believes in sprinkling and calling it baptism. You can show them very clearly from the Word of God, and they will not back down. They will be adamant and insist you're wrong. And they'll just say, that's your way of interpreting the Scripture, but this is how I interpret it. It's wrong. You can interpret it that way if you want. We have that individual soul liberty, but it's better to be right with God on such clear matters. God says it's pride that has moved in, and it causes problems. A lot of these men that are in leadership positions are just simply trying to build a kingdom. Why do you think they slap their name on a study Bible? That and the royalties they get for having their name associated with it. How many of these study Bibles are actually a King James Version? Think about that. Schofield did one that was a King James Version, because there wasn't any, at the time that he did it, there wasn't anything else. The New American Standard came out a few years later. But all the ones that are coming out today with some guy's name on it, yeah, every one of them, they're getting royalties. What they do with the royalties is up to them. Some of them pocket it. That's one thing I have to, at least before, I don't know where he is now, but Rick Warren made a lot of money. And, he didn't keep the money he got from his book sales. And so some of the guys are sincere. They're wrong in so many areas, but got to appreciate their character anyway. But they're proud. But look what God says about them. And this is kind of shocking. When you think about the number of degrees they have, when you think about the intelligence level they possess, in God's estimation, He looks down from heaven, says, you know what? They know nothing. Fundamentalists are characterized as being uneducated hicks. And I like to use improper grammar, just because that's the way I'm perceived, because I make no bones about it. I'm proud that I'm a fundamentalist. Wait a minute, I just talked about pride. I am happy, let's just use that word, that I'm a fundamentalist. And I'm glad that the Lord, when He saved me, put me in the churches He put me in. And that I had the mentors that I had that trained me according to the Scriptures. But God, in God's estimation, this is small letter A under 3, in God's estimation, they know absolutely nothing. But they have all kinds of degrees, don't they? Did you know just because a man has a doctorate of divinity, it doesn't mean anything more than that paper? I have an honorary doctorate, and I may have told you this before. When we had the Bible Institute, and I would sign the diplomas, those that made it through, I always signed it pastor. And I remember one of the other pastors who also had a doctorate, he looked at it, and he did a double take, and he looked up at me, and because I was the president of the institute, he said, "How can I sign this doctor when you signed it pastor?" And I just said, "Well, a doctor is just a recognition of man, but pastor's the recognition of God. I think that's a higher title, and I believe that." And so he signed it pastor. But a lot of these doctorates are earned, and this is where, if we would back up, and maybe we'll cover it a little bit. I mentioned it briefly a couple weeks ago, where fundamentalism came from about 100 years ago. And this is where the Northern Baptist Convention and the other mainline denominations went wrong. They wanted to have doctors of ministry or doctors of theology teaching their ministerial students. And so they sent them over to Germany, where there was the most highly regarded by the world theological schools in the planet. But those were bastions of Bible-denying liberals. And so these men came back denying creation, denying the existence of Christ, denying salvation by the blood, all these false doctrines, and they began to teach the preachers, and the preachers began to teach the people. And whole denominations were wasted and became antichrists that once were strongholds of fundamentalism. And so just because you see he has a doctorate doesn't mean he knows anything. He has a lot of knowledge, but it's for the most part worthless because so many of these schools are worthless, taught by infidels. How would you like to have your pastor taught the scriptures by an infidel? It just doesn't make sense. But that's what's going on in the world today. And that's where the Southern Baptist Convention has really been struggling. And I recently heard some concern about some of our independent fundamental Bible colleges around the nation. If I started mentioning the ones that were specifically mentioned, you know them. But to have accreditation, they have to hire infidels to teach in their classes. And this is going to be fundamentalism in 20 years as these men graduate with doctorates and take positions of authority and prominence. Folks, we're a dying breed as we're in the last days. If we don't hold to the truth, who will? Don't ever swerve. Don't ever change. These men are proud. They know nothing. And then it goes on to say, doting about questions and strives of words. What does it mean to dote? I think every dad should dote if they have a daughter. I think every dad should spoil their daughters. You got three of them. Stephen's got two of them. They should be spoiled. I just think that's the way it ought to be. They'll meet reality, and not spoiling to the point where they can't function in society, but I spoiled both of mine, and they're both doing pretty good, and they're a lot sterner with their children than I was with them, and that's good, because moms aren't supposed to dote on the daughters. But what doting means is to simply obsess over something, to love excessively, Now, my theory of raising the daughters was every girl's first boyfriend should be her dad and learn how to interact with the opposite sex from the dad. And that's just the way it should be, and that works out well. So anyway, that's a whole different story. But their obsession wasn't with their daughters. Their obsession was with these questions, these strifes of words. There's certain things in the scriptures that God's not clear on. Now, the important things, the fundamentals, God is crystal clear. Salvation, who God is, creation, baptism, tithing, God's crystal clear on those things. There is no debate, no two ways to take it. I mentioned one, I probably last week, about Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God. Who are they? Angels, fallen angels, or are they the godly line of Seth? And so that one, it's not crystal clear. But what they'll do is they'll grab a hold of that and they won't let it go. They're obsessed with it. And what happens, if you don't agree with their position, they will part fellowship. I had a man who had a great deal of Bible knowledge in my previous church. He and his son was probably in his early 30s, and the fellow was probably about 60. They left the church because they disagreed with my position on that. And the whole while that we're covering it, I said, you don't have to agree with me on this. It's not that important. And but to them it was. They were doting over words, strifes of words, doting about questions. There's other ones that happens to, that people latch onto it, and if you don't agree with them entirely and completely, then you're wrong. And this is where the pride kicks in. You're wrong. They're right. They have special knowledge that you lack. They're more spiritually mature than you are. You're just an infant in Christ because you don't see things the way they see it. No, that's not the way it works. There is room for liberty in a few things. Salvation, fundamentals of the faith. As I said, there is no room for different opinions. And so to dote means to obsess over something or love excessively. And the question then is, does this lead to godly behavior? And of course, the answer is no. The behavior it leads to is envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings, corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Doesn't sound like what we want to be. Doesn't sound like what you want your preacher to be. And if you don't want your preacher to be that, you shouldn't listen to him, because a lot of the guys on the radio, in fact, just about all of them on the radio and all of them on television, were just described in what I read. So as I, what do I say? If you're going to listen to somebody, what's the advice I give? Go on their website and see what they believe. If they don't list anything, don't listen to them, because that means they don't believe anything. In other words, they lack faith. And so just turn them off. There's enough good ones. If you want to know some good preachers to listen to, I can give you some names that you can trust, and you'll have good Bible teaching. And my favorite is Harold Seitler. If you want to hear some good old Southern-style fundamental Baptist preaching, look up Harold Seitler. He's all over the Internet, and a lot of sermons. Now, some of them are in pretty poor quality because they're from the late 50s and early 60s, but they are worth the effort. And so anyway, they're there. But let's not listen to these antichrists. We've been commanded to separate. All right? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Father, keep us walking the straight and narrow way. Help us to always understand what your word has to say. And Father, we don't mention those that have swerved and gone astray through joy, or doesn't bring us any satisfaction. It just brings us grief, because they represent you and yet are wrong and leading others astray. So Father, help us to be that pillar and ground of the truth, that we might always hold to the truth here at the Covenant Baptist Church. Now bless us as we're dismissed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.